Talking a lot of Suns basketball, more than a week after they've been eliminated from the playoffs, but the chatter doesn't stop. Here to join us in the conversation from Fox Sports, Rick Bucher is our guest here on the Arizona Sports Line. Rick, good morning. How are you?
Rick!
I am well, gentlemen. How are you?
Good. Let's rewind to last Wednesday, a few days after the Suns get swept out of the playoffs by Minnesota. Very interesting press conference with Matt Ishbia, James Jones. I think a lot of Suns fans were expecting maybe to have some sort of determination on what the future of Frank Vogel as the head coach was going to be. Let's start there. Are you surprised that Frank Vogel is still the coach of the Phoenix Suns?
Maybe a little. I think just because of the innuendo that was involved, but I credit Matt and James in terms of not just reacting to what obviously was a disappointing result in getting swept out. And I've been since then talking to people around the league. You know, there's two schools of thought. One of them is, Frank's not the right fit for this group. And the other is, where you are right now, you need some continuity. You need to build from here. And so the fact that a lot of people feel that the reason that this team didn't succeed wasn't because of Frank or the coaching or the system, but it really was a flawed roster, which I tend to agree with, then it's really hard to determine whether we're going to just change out coaches a little bit. I feel like the Lakers did that exact same thing. Darvin Ham wasn't great. I wouldn't say that Frank pushed all the right buttons by any means, but when you're working with a roster that's not going to get you where you want to go, changing out coaches really doesn't accomplish a whole lot. In fact, you could suggest that it's a step back because now you're bringing in a new guy with a new system and you're starting from scratch. Mm-hmm.
There's not a lot of reports, but there's speculation that maybe the Suns are hedging their bet in case maybe KD is going to ask out. You also brought up an interesting thing about Devin Booker, because Devin's been very loyal to the Phoenix market. I had somebody tell me directly, watch out for Worldwide West. William Wesley in the New York Knicks, you quoted an Eastern Conference GM as saying there's a lack of clarity as to what Devin Booker wants from this point forward. Yeah. What do you learn? What is your instinct and your intuition tell you?
Yeah, well, look, I just from everything that I know about Devin and I know about his experience there, I would think that it would be difficult for him to step away from or ask out of the Phoenix Suns. At the same time, what I don't really know, but this often happens, when you bring in other stars into a situation, it does change the dynamic and guys get restless in terms of maybe this just isn't the place for me. And especially if someone is saying, hey, you know what? We have all the pieces. You would be the last piece to us getting this done. And that guy has been pining for a championship and has come close to it the way that Devin has in terms of getting to the finals. Then I could see that turning, and I'm not saying any of this from any inside information where Devin's head is at, or even the Phoenix Suns and what their plans are. But there has been there are rumors, there are people around the league that are talking about the possibility that that Devin would want to go someplace else. There hasn't been any indication that the Suns are looking to go anyplace else. I brought that up simply because I've been told, look, they need to change something. And one of those guys has to go. And by looking at what the Phoenix Suns gave up to get Kevin Durant and what Minnesota gave up to get Rudy Gobert from the Utah Jazz, you could solve the majority of your problems by moving Devin. Devin will get you the truckload of assets and players that could potentially change this. And I know the reaction by Phoenix Suns fans. Like, no, like, Devin's our guy. And I'm, look, that's fine. I don't have the emotional attachment to this situation that I'm sure Suns fans do. I'm just looking at it from a very practical standpoint. Kevin, you're not going to get back what you gave up for Kevin Durant. You really can't move Bradley Beal at this point. And if you did, you'd probably have to give up a first-round pick rather than get one. And so if we're looking at a shorter timeline, and the Suns want to be a championship contender next year, and we go through the laundry list of things they need for that to happen, there's only one guy on that roster that gets it for you, and that's Devin Booker. You don't want to give him up? That's fine. I don't care. But if you think that your team's going to be a championship contender any other way or even have a shot at it, then I don't see how you get there. It's a bridge too far.
Rick Bucher from Fox Sports, our guest here on the Arizona Sports Line. You're leading me right where I was going with my next question. Last year, the Minnesota Timberwolves, you mentioned the Rudy Gobert trade. They give up the farm to get Gobert. They got a lot of criticism. It didn't work out. Yep. They had some injuries. Yep. They lose in five games in the first round. Their players fighting on the sideline during the end of that year. A year later, they're talking about the Minnesota Timberwolves with that same cast of characters maybe competing way ahead of schedule for a championship. What do you say to Suns fans who are of the belief that, you know, and taking the hint from James Jones and Matt Ishbia preaching patience on this? If they are patient, what does next year look like in your opinion?
They'll be good. Hopefully they will be better during the regular season than I expected them to be a great regular season team. Mm-hmm. I thought that they could get picked apart when you get the game plan for them. What was disappointing for me was just the lack of consistency. They didn't lose to Denver or Minnesota this season, as you guys, I'm sure, know, as Phoenix Suns fans well know. And yet, they never had a run. I think they had one 7-game winning streak, one 6-game winning streak. They never had a run, or they never had a build through the course of the season where I thought, oh, these guys are dangerous. I never had that feeling. I resisted having that feeling with the Los Angeles Clippers because I know what happens in the end. But the Phoenix Suns never gave me reason to feel that.
Fair.
And if you look at their composition, they have three largely duplicative stars. They're all scorers. You have no point guard who's setting the table. You have no defensive wings, which is why, you know, at times Bradley Beal is having to guard Anthony Edwards. You'd never want to put him in that situation. And now he's getting in foul trouble, and now his game's up and down. You don't really have any physical brute force inside. I'd hope that Yusuf Nurkic would grow into that, but again, up and down when he would present that to you. And so, like, you need all of those pieces. And if you could look at the Minnesota Timberwolves, like, it was all there. The question with adding Rudy Gobert wasn't what they gave up. I mean, it was in terms of, boy, you gave up a lot for a defensive center. But they had all the other pieces. And I honestly believe last year when they got Mike Conley, to me, that was one of the missing pieces, and the way things ended last year with Minnesota was simply Mike hadn't been there long enough. And now when you hear guys talk about, I think Ant said it after the last game, like we were asking about Chris Finch and not being as involved because of the knee injuries, like Mike's not our coach on the court. And Kyle Anderson, I believe, raised their basketball IQ. And then you have Anthony Edwards as your go-to guys, and defensively great one-on-one defenders at multiple positions. Jaden Daniels, like, to me, he was the star of the closeout against Phoenix. Or unsung hero, if you will. So the pieces were all there where you say, okay, I don't know if it's going to come together. And I don't know if, like, what you're spending to get Gobert if you can't have him on the floor all the time because of matchups. Okay, that seems pricey. This better work. But I could make a case where all the pieces were there.
Yeah.
I can't do that with the Phoenix Suns. There's just too many holes.
Yeah.
And so, and look, I know I've been around the league long enough to know how passionate Suns fans are about their guy. By the way, somebody put out on social media that, you know, why would we trade the greatest Phoenix Sun ever? I'm sorry, Charles Barkley played for the Phoenix Suns. Stop with that nonsense, okay? Love Devin Booker as a player. But let's face it. I mean, he's been great individually. Has he been, and you could add this to Kevin Durant, I still feel like there's a leadership vacuum with the Phoenix Suns.
No doubt.
In terms of the guy who brings them together when things go a little sideways.
No doubt. All right, last question for you. And along with that lack of leadership, there's a lack of connectivity. There's a lack of joy when they play. You see it when they play a team like the Timberwolves. Is there a system that would bring out something better in the Big Three, especially when you look at the Western Conference? The rise of Anthony Edwards, the rise of Wemby in San Antonio, what we're seeing in Oklahoma City, who's on deck with Houston.
Yeah.
It's not the prettiest of pictures here for Phoenix.
Yeah, no, you know, and this is the tough part, and I think it's why the coaching thing was raised. And last time I was on with you guys, I misspoke about Isaiah Thomas. I think it had happened relatively quickly. And to me, in reflection, it's like as soon as I got off, I was like, you know what? Isaiah Thomas wasn't brought in there to be a point guard just because they don't have point guards. Isaiah Thomas was brought in there to try to create a chemistry and a camaraderie that seemed to be missing. And this is one of the things that I give Chris Finch great credit for with Minnesota, and where I wondered if Frank could do the job that needed to be done, because Chris Finch has held guys accountable. Karl Anthony Towns, when he went for the big scoring thing against Charlotte, he said that was an immature performance.
Mm-hmm.
Rarely do we have coaches call people out like that. I know that they've held Anthony Edwards accountable. Don't just be trying shots because you want to see if you can bank this three in. Like that veteran leadership of Conley has had an influence in that locker room, and Finch has done the same thing. And so that to me is what has to change. And I don't know that you get that from your – I mean, it has to come from your best players. And we know that KD has never had an interest in being that. Devin, for me, is just too emotionally up and down to be that. Bradley Beal has never won at the level that the other guys are going to look at him and say, okay, you take us where we need to go. So, again, that's where I feel like – I've been told, like, there's GMs out there that feel like, hey, if you can just tweak it, if you can get the right role players, not load up on all scoring wings, you know, find that balance, roll the dice on a couple of guys, maybe you can take the next step. For me, the surgery has to be a little deeper than that. Yeah. If you really want to be a legitimate contender for a title.
Rick, thanks so much for the time and the insight. We appreciate it, man.